We certainly need the Lord's help this morning. I'd like to read from Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3 and verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up, and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before hath shewed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." These people were amazed. And Peter began preaching Jesus to them. He said, "I wot that ye did it through ignorance. You denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer be granted unto you. Now I don't ask that you reverse that trial. I don't ask that you take back the slaps that you laid on his face, that you unlay the whip that you laid on his back. I'm not asking that you do all those things today. I'm not asking that you undo that farce of a trial that you held for him, that you take him down off the cross, that somehow you go to his grave and resurrect him from the dead. I'm not asking that you do all those things. I'm asking that you repent, that your heart turn, that you stop denying the Holy One and the Just, that you believe him. I'm not asking that you go and recapture Barabbas and put him on the cross. I'm just asking that you repent of your sins, that you turn away. You know, there are some things that we can do in life that we cannot undo. No matter how badly we want to undo them, no matter how badly we may regret what we've done, there are some things that we just cannot undo. But the call today is that we repent, that we turn in our hearts from those things that we did that were evil. Be converted. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. In chemistry, we have chemical reactions. You can take two substances that have properties that are completely different from the properties of the product. I'll give you an example. You can take chlorine gas and you can take sodium, which is a metal. They will combine to form something totally different. Sodium chloride, which is table salt. Something very different, totally different properties. There are chemical reactions that are reversible. You add heat in the presence of certain chemicals, and you can get this third chemical, which is completely different. And then you take heat away, and the reverse happens. You get the original compounds. But many chemical reactions are irreversible. Once the reaction has taken place, you can never restore the original compounds. An example is the burning of wood. Take the ashes, put the heat back in, and produce wood again. You cannot do it. It is irreversible. Well, there are some things in life that we can do that we can never reverse. There are things that it's going to take God. It's going to take divine intervention to restore that which was lost, that which was broken. Time is an example of something that is irreversible. Have you ever wished so badly that you could go back to an event in your life and somehow undo it? I have. But it's impossible, isn't it? Peter didn't require that of those men that day. He didn't say, you go back and undo all those wicked deeds. The requirement was that they repent, that they turn in their hearts, that they believe on the Lord. Well, time is irreversible. The song asks, have you wandered along in life's pathway? Have you lived without love a life of tears? Have you searched for the great hidden meaning, or is your life filled with long wasted years? Wasted years, wasted years, oh how foolish. As you walk on in darkness and fear, turn around, God is calling. He's calling you from a life of wasted years. Search for wisdom and seek understanding. There is someone who knows and always hears. Give it up, give it up. The load you're bearing. You can't go on in a life of wasted years. It takes God to restore some things. When we have wasted our substance, when we have committed sins, it takes God to restore. I'm glad He doesn't require of us to restore all those things. There is a doctrine of restitution, and there are some things that are within our power to make right, and we're obligated to do so. But all the damage, all the wasted time, it takes something divine. Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of a valley which was full of bones. and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Now, if someone dies, their heart stops beating, they stop breathing. People administer CPR. They may shock the heart to restart the heart. And there's hope. Sometimes it works. But many times it does not. There is hope. But here's this big valley of dry bones. And Son of Man, can these bones live again? Well, Lord, I sure can't do it. It's something irreversible. It's something beyond my power to restore life to such a hopeless situation. Again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you and will bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you. And ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. And so I prophesied as he commanded, and breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then said he unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. Have you ever felt this way? My hope is lost. I have done things in my life. I have destroyed relationships. I have committed sins against God, and all of my hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore, prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you forth up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live. And I shall place you in your own land, and ye shall know that I, the Lord, hath spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Sin brings about death. And it takes something divine, something greater than a resolution to do better, than a decision for Christ. It takes something deeper than that. It takes something divine to restore life. Let's turn to Luke chapter 15. A prodigal is one that is given to extravagant expenditures, expending money or other things without necessity, profuse, lavish, wasteful, not frugal or economical. Luke 15 and 11, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of the goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land. Isn't that inconvenient? The famine came after he had spent all. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have fain filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave him. And when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son." But the father said to his servants, "Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to make merry. The father did not say to the son, "Son, I want the inheritance back." I don't believe the son could have done it, do you? There was a famine in the land. I don't know, maybe if he'd have worked his whole life, maybe he could have restored that inheritance. But he came back empty-handed. The father didn't say to the son, "Son, I expected you to come in better clothing than that. What are these rags?" Instead, he said, "Bring the best robe. Bring a ring and put on his hand. Shoes and put on his feet. Kill that fatted calf." He saw repentance in this young man. Isn't it beautiful what repentance can do in our lives? How we can be restored when we've wasted, when things are outside our power to restore. And we repent. And from our heart, and we turn from our sins. We give them up. We give the old life up. The Lord restores. The Lord welcomes us home. "Son, I just wanted you to be found again. I'm not so worried about all that inheritance. The good name that you destroyed. Let's start rebuilding from this day." In 1846, James Reed set off west in search of a greater fortune in California. James Reed was a leader of a group of 87 immigrants known as the Donner Party. The most difficult part of the passage was in the Sierra Nevada mountain range in California toward the end of the trip. And the Donner Party already had a late start in their trip. Perhaps their late start was due in part that they had so many women and children in their company. But them being late added to the risk of being snowed in the mountains. Well, leader James Reed had recently read a book that promoted the Hastings Route. It was advertised in Hastings' book as a new shortcut across the Great Basin. This route enticed travelers, saying it would save the pioneers 350 to 400 miles and on easy terrain. But what James Reed did not know is that this route had not been tested. Isn't that just like Satan? James Reed was seeking his fortune. He was already probably a rich man. But he went to a place, he was going to a place to seek a greater fortune. And along comes this advertisement. "I've got a shortcut for you. You want your fortune, you want your pleasure, you don't have to go that old way that all those folks have gone before you. I've got a shortcut for you. At Fort Laramie, Reed encountered James Clyman, a mountain man and a guide who had just come over the new route. Clyman advised Reed not to take the Hastings route, stating the road was barely passable on foot and would be impossible with wagons. He also warned him of the Great Desert and of the Sierra Nevadas. Though the guide strongly suggested the party take the regular wagon trail rather than this new false route, Reed later ignored his warning in an attempt to reach the destination more quickly. This man was a mountain man. This man was a guide to people going across these trails in the Wild West. That's the kind of man I think I'd want to listen to, wouldn't you? The voice of experience, the voice of wisdom. You know, the Lord sends people to warn folks. There is a way in life that is a proven way to happiness, to success, to good fortune. If you just take this route that's been proven by all these folks, I have some experience I can tell you, don't take that route. Don't take that shortcut. I know there's that book that told you that it's so wonderful, it's easygoing. But let me warn you, don't take that route. Well, one of their party, the Donner Party, was a journalist, Edwin Bryant, and he went ahead of the party to scout the new route, the new trail, and he decided it was too dangerous. And he returned to the trading post at Black Fork, leaving a letter of warning not to take the new route. The party arrived at the trading post but never received the letter. And they went ahead taking the new dangerous trail. They were caught by the worst winter in the recorded history of the Sierra Nevada mountains. Food supplies ran out, and many of the party resorted to cannibalism. Of the original 87, only 48 survived. Turn around, there's danger ahead. There's starvation in this promised shortcut to happiness. There's murder ahead. There's destruction ahead. There are elements that you cannot stand, that you can't overcome in your own strength. Don't go that way. But yet people go on. Proverbs says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. There is a common theory of why the Donner Party did not receive that last warning letter. The theory is that the owner of the trading post, Jim Bridger, intentionally withheld the letter. See, Bridger's trading post was positioned in a way that he would benefit financially if the new shortcut became a success. So the theory is that he withheld that and instead gave them the written instructions that Hastings had left for them, telling them the shortcut. You know, there are folks that will try to undermine God's letter to you, warning you the safe route through life. There are folks that will try to withhold that from you. You can go and listen to their preaching. You can go sit in their audience and you can be in your sins and not repent and feel good about yourself. That's right. There's starvation ahead. There's danger. There is death. There is destruction. Turn back. Yes. Listen to the voice of reason today. Yes. Luke chapter 16. The rich man was in hell, pleading with Abraham. Luke 16 and 27, he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him, speaking of Lazarus, to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. People have preaching today, don't they? Yes. They have the law today. They have the Word of God today. Oh, but if I could just go back and tell my family, don't come here. It's destruction here. It's torment here. Do whatever it takes. Listen to the preaching. Amen. No, they already have the preaching. They already have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, wooing their hearts, talking with them in the stillness of the night. Let them hear the Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 3. It's time to repent. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 5. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance. When we head down the road of sin, there is wrath coming. This nation is in serious trouble. The leaders of our nation need to repent. The false pastors, the false preachers need to repent that are telling people we're all sinners. They need to start repenting themselves for giving people the Hastings route to destruction. God, have mercy on our nation. Awaken the leaders. Awaken the people. You don't commit these abominations and not incur the wrath of God. How many abortions have been committed in this country since 1973? Every one will be given account for in the day of judgment. The leader of our nation went to Kenya, in part to advocate acceptance of homosexuality to the government there. I am appalled. I was in Nairobi on the street, and somebody stopped me and was speaking of his upcoming visit. I apologized to the man. It's time for our leaders to repent. This is serious. This is deadly. God, have mercy on us as a country. Appointing openly homosexual ambassadors to foreign lands. You know what an ambassador is? That is the person who represents our nation to that government and those people. They are to reflect the values of us as a people. What an absolute abomination. Not long ago, Ray was on his deathbed with cancer. I heard that Ray was seeking the Lord, and I went to visit him before he died. I asked Ray if he had asked the Lord to forgive him of his sins. Ray indicated that he had. And Ray began to make confession of sin in his life. Sin of the past. I asked Ray, have you forgiven all those that have done you wrong? Ray indicated that he had. I asked him, is there anybody that you need to ask forgiveness from? Ray was on his deathbed. Ray couldn't get up and go find all those people. But what he started doing is naming those people one by one and asking forgiveness as if they were right there in the room. I tell you, it touched my heart. I believe it touched the heart of God. There is something beautiful about repentance, about turning around, about softening your heart. Matthew chapter 21 and verse 28. Matthew chapter 21 and verse 28. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterward, he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, likewise, son, go today and work in my vineyard. Now the first son turned him down, rebelled. I imagine the father was pretty disappointed, don't you think? But the second son said, I go, sir. That must have been refreshing. At least I have one son that respects me. At least I have one son that's willing to do my will. I go, sir. And he went not. God wants more than us to say, I go, sir. He wants repentance from the heart. He wants people to forsake the old life, to turn around, to obey Him. I'm a Christian. I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I accept Him as my personal Savior. I trust Jesus for my salvation. In other words, I go, sir, but not repenting. Not forsaking the old life. The Scripture tells us, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Amen. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that publicans and harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But publicans and harlots believed him, and ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe in him. It's time to repent today. Do you remember the story of Saul? 1 Samuel chapter 15. Saul disobeyed the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 12. The Lord sent His prophet Samuel to meet the disobedient king. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel. And behold, he set him up a place and has gone about, and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Blessed be thou of the Lord. I can put a blessing on you now. Oh, you can? What's that sin in your life? You didn't repent And you're trying to bless me. You know, there are missionaries going to foreign lands, taking their sins with them, trying to be a blessing to people. There are people up preaching, admitting they're sinners. Blessed be thou in the name of the Lord. We need repentance. We need obedience. And Samuel said, "What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear?" What is this sin written all over your life? What is this love of the world that is evident in you? The way you dress, the way you talk, the things you love, your entertainments. What does all this mean? The bleating of the sheep. We need repentance. We need folks to be new creatures in Christ, to give up the old life. King Ahab was in a similar situation. A wicked king. He coveted his neighbor's property. And his wife Jezebel had that innocent neighbor killed. And Ahab went to take possession. 1 Kings chapter 21. Ahab went to take possession of his murdered neighbor's property. And the Lord sent his prophet Elijah to this disobedient king. And he pronounced judgment. 1 Kings chapter 21 and verse 27. And it came to pass when Ahab heard those words, that he rent his clothes, a sign of mourning. And he put sackcloth upon his flesh and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went softly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite saying, "Seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring evil upon his house." The Lord didn't say, "Ahab, bring the man back to life. Give his property back." Ahab couldn't have done that, couldn't have brought him back if he would have wanted to. But he repented, and he found some mercy with God. And you know, each one of us can do the same thing. When we recognize, I've done wrong, I've failed God, there is a place of repentance and mercy. Repentance doesn't end when we get saved. We should keep an attitude of repentance throughout our experience. We should always feel remorse for the sins we committed in the past. If you ever find yourself bragging about your past sin life, watch out. That's something to be ashamed of. We are to have an attitude of remorse, of repentance, of turning away from those things which are past. Well, why is it that people do not repent? The Donner Party received a warning from that mountain man, from that guide. Why is it that they did not turn back or go a different way? I believe they couldn't see into the future. They couldn't see themselves trapped, snowbound in the mountains for months. Snow 12 feet deep. Starvation. Trying to decide which body they were going to eat. Talk of murdering two kind Indian guides that were helping them through the mountain. They couldn't see all that horror and devastation. So they didn't repent. You know, people cannot see the horrors of hell. So they're not repenting. Let me tell you, this nation's sorrows are just beginning. based on the ingredients that we are putting into the laws, in the judges, in the people that are being elected into office, this nation's sorrows are just beginning. Let me tell you a news account, and I apologize for such dismal news. But this is what's happening in our society. There was a man that followed a girl into the women's restroom and began choking her. She managed to scream enough that her mother heard her, but she went unconscious. Good thing she managed to get a little scream out, because her mother came in and interfered, and it saved that girl's life. He was choking her unconscious in the women's restroom. Now, do you think those incidents are going to increase or decrease with the new policies that we are taking as a nation? Let me tell you something. Our sorrows are just beginning. We will experience more violence, more rapes, more all kinds of sins because of the ingredients, because of the path that this nation has taken. It is time for this nation to repent. There was a survivor of the Donner Party, Patrick Breen. He clung to life with his wife and his 7 children. And here is his diary entry for December the 17th, 1846. May we, with God's help, spend the coming year better than the past, which we purpose to do if Almighty God will deliver us from our present dreadful situation. That sounds like a good prayer to me. Lord, I'm in a bad place, and if you will just get me out of here, next year I'll do better. You know, that sounds like repentance, doesn't it? I will serve you, Lord. I will live my life the best I can. Just get me out of this place. And you know, God had mercy on this man and allowed him and his family to survive. You know, that's what we need to do. We need to cry out, Lord, I will do better. I will repent. I will turn around if you will just deliver me out of this place that I am in. Why is it that people die and go to hell? You know, hell is real. I've heard that everybody can be saved. Everybody. All you have to do is believe on Jesus, and we really, nope, it doesn't matter how you're living, we can all be saved. I want to tell you, hell is real, and people are dying and going to hell. There are people in hell now that would love to have a chance to repent, but it is too late. There is coming a day that you can no longer turn back. You will already be snowed in. Starvation will already be taking its toll on you. But today is an opportunity. Today is the day of salvation and of repentance. Why do people die and go to hell? It's because they can't see into hell. It's because they cannot see their future, just as they could not see starvation up in the mountains. Just as they could not see destruction ahead, people cannot see the awfulness of hell. But there are what are called seers. You know what a seer was? Back in the Old Testament, it says, when a man went to inquire of God, he said, let us go to the seer, because that's what prophets used to be called. And literally it meant someone who could see. Someone, in other words, who could see into the future. That could see God, that could see God's will. We have that advantage today. There are people that can see a better path than this, the path that this world has to offer. Zechariah chapter 1 and verse 4. Zechariah chapter 1 verse 4. Be ye not as your fathers, unto whom the former prophets have cried, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Turn ye now from your evil ways and from your evil doings. But they did not hear, nor hearken unto me, saith the Lord. Don't be as your fathers. The seers went to them, the experienced guides, the people that knew the way to success and happiness. Don't be like your fathers that refused to turn, but turn today. Today is the day to repent, to turn away from evil. There's hope, there's happiness, there is a successful life. May God bless you.